welcome and thank you very much for coming to our session. How many presentations have we done on this? Every time we do one of these presentations, we move it on a little bit further. So it's been really nice to have the opportunity to just take a bit of time at the moment to reflect on where we're going with this project, which we'll introduce in a second. So, wow, this is the last session of the day, isn't it? Okay, so social media portfolios. So let me sort of bring us into focus in terms of what we're doing here. Sue, myself, and our colleague Kelly Snape, who's around today but not actually with us in session, have been looking at LinkedIn. Is one way of describing what we've been doing. But really what we've been looking at is how we present ourselves professionally. Who's ourselves? It is actually us. It's the professional recognition agenda, the academic professional recognition agenda. But of course it's also our students. Don't we want our students to learn how to present their professional self, or at least learn how to do that? So we've had a project initially supported by the HEA with a small grant that allowed us to put a resource base together. So we'll begin just by introducing the resource base, the connected you side is what it's called, and then we'll move on to where we are with this now. And I think this conference has helped me think through a few of the issues that we'll be raising with you already. Okay, so the LinkedIn University was the idea. Why don't we do something in this university, Sheffield Hallam University, where we both work? I work in the centre, you work in one of the faculties, Sue.
Yeah, faculty.
Clearly people know that we've got this common interest in what we can do with social media. LinkedIn looked like a very special space for us. Kelly works in careers, who's our third person involved in this project. So between the three of us, Kelly's great with LinkedIn. You know, I'm all right with ideas. I can see the connection. And as people know, Sue's great with everything. So
yeah.
We could really start to focus in on professional profiling. If we think of the act of professional profiling, an active state that academics assume, but also students, then what can we do with LinkedIn? So it's for aspiring professionals and practicing professionals. The notion of fostering effective life-wide professional habits. So if we're going to do anything with social media, but including looking after our professional identities, we've got to develop new habits. We've got to do it for ourselves. Somehow we've got to get from this position of careers staff saying, no, you should have a LinkedIn profile, student, or even professional recognition staff saying to academics, it's a really good and important thing for you to have a LinkedIn profile. It's got to be much more than that. If we're going to do anything that's going to make any sense here, we need to look at LinkedIn as something that people value, come to value, and turn into habitual good practice. So it's a common challenge, and it's about communicating the need to establish a professional self and to look at the habits involved in keeping that fresh. Because keeping it fresh, the act of keeping your professional profile fresh, not just having one, is very much part of being professional. Okay, so if you've got a static LinkedIn profile, it might look excellent, but if it starts to look a bit stale, all of a sudden its value diminishes and reflects badly on you. So keeping fresh is a really important idea. It relates, therefore, to initiatives within our university and other universities about professional recognition. Becoming a fellow of the Higher Education Academy, for example. Being a fellow in your own professional area. And for students, it relates to personal development planning, what we call here personal and professional development planning. So it already keys right into existing agenda that are very important to our university and indeed other universities. The HEA responded to our suggestion immediately, could see that connection. And when we have presented it before, we've actually sort of found that people really get that connection, which has been really reassuring for us. In other words, we've got one problem. It affects our students and our staff. We don't have to do two separate projects. It's the same problem. Same opportunity, I should have said. So, do you want to give us a bit of a
Okay, so what is LinkedIn? I mean, a lot of people might consider LinkedIn as a space to create your digital CV. So typically you're given a profile on there, so you've got a header, a summary, you put in some experience, it'll ask you what your qualifications are. So you fill out that information as it asks. Some people do all of that, and if they do, they'll get the 100% complete. Some people get so far and get a little bit bored with it and come back to that and actually never do, forgetting that actually that is wide open, it's public. So however you leave it is what other people can see. So few of the people that have got the free version of LinkedIn will only see what they can with regards to people that they're connected with. But the people that have the pro version can look at any profile. So leaving it in an unfinished state isn't such a good idea. So one of the things that we have to think about is what is the impact of that profile. So it's out there now, you've created it, so wherever you are with it, who's actually going to be looking at that? And one of the things we need to think about is the audiences that we will be engaging with, or will be engaging with us, should I say. So that could be peers. It could be peers from your own institution. It could be peers at other universities. It could be students. Students will, when they're searching, going to a university, will of course Google. They'll look and get some academic names. They'll Google those academics. If that comes up on the first page of Google, your LinkedIn profile, they're going to click on that link. What do they see? That's their first impression and a lasting impression. And of course it goes on to employers. So from the students' perspective, employers, recruiters are using LinkedIn as a search tool. And of course it could go on then to research industry and all sorts of different collaborations that you might have in a professional context.
Okay, so we're not going to go into the Connected You site. We started the project off by calling it the LinkedIn University. And we worked with Charles Hardy when we set out and just checked so that was going to work. Anyway, they changed their mind. So
it's all about branding issues. So it's now called the Connected You.
That's the URL. Okay, we're not going to hover too long on this slide. But what we did was we created a great resource. If you want to note the URL, it's blogs.shu.ac.uk/profiles.
Also on the slides that we shared on SlideShare. But what we've got in there is a series of case studies, and then video case studies and some text case studies. So the funding that we got for the project, we actually employed 3 students at Sheffield Hallam to do some work on that. So their brief was, you know, were they good at communication, were they good at digital media? So they actually put these case studies together, and I have to say that, you know, in the short space of time that they had, because it literally was 3 months, 2.5 months?
Oh, it was tiny. It was less than that. There was Easter in the middle of it as well. Oh gosh, we had no time. It was brilliant what they did. The students really did it.
They interviewed alumni, academics, employers, and current students. So they got case studies from them. How are you using LinkedIn? Why is it beneficial to you as a professional? So there's some interesting case studies and stories in there. So they're worth looking at. And what we're trying to gather as well is all sorts of interesting information that we can share, and obviously people can add to that.
So we made the decision that LinkedIn is pretty good itself, actually. And we thought when we set out we were going to be writing a lot of guidance. We did write some guidance. And we already had good guidance for students and staff on using social media that Sue and others here have been involved in producing. In terms of this project, we wrote some more. Kelly had a few things to do, but actually LinkedIn's guidance did what we needed. So we linked out to that. We didn't just rebuild it for the sake of it. Okay, so being professional. So I've used the word enacting and acting. This active state is really important to what we were doing here. And just to reiterate, really, you know, there's a bit of a cycle here that the tendency is, and we'll tell you that we know this to be true towards the end because we've done a little bit of surveying about this that's confirmed this, but you know, many of us have a profile. Is there anyone in the room that doesn't have a LinkedIn profile? Yeah.
No,
you might want to get one. but most people have one, and actually probably don't do anything. So most people have a LinkedIn. Can I ask a question? Just in the room then, and I'll admit my own position on this. Do you keep your LinkedIn profile fresh and nice and... can you put your hand up if you do? I can see a nod or two. Oh, students.
Yeah.
Excellent. Wow, that's really interesting, actually. But no one else is putting their hand up. I'm not putting my hand up. I don't get one...
Mine's pretty fresh by me.
Okay, really fresh. The paint is still dripping on it. Okay, well, that counts, doesn't it? But, okay, well, take this advice. Come up with a strategy for keeping it fresh. Because, as I said to begin with, if you don't, it actually can start to reflect badly on you, I think. But you wouldn't be alone. Most of us here have one, but we're not doing a lot with it. So, going back to professional recognition, going back to PDP. These are academic activities or activities we associate with being here. We should be engaging in CPD as academic staff. If we're fellows of the Higher Education Academy or whatever, that we should be engaged in our practice. We should be engaged in continuously developing our capabilities to be good academics. Students should be reflecting on the feedback they receive, on the tutorials they have, the conversations they have with peers. There's something going on, that transition through our time at university, whether we're staff or students. So PDP and professional recognition are important. We need a way to drive that and feed our LinkedIn profile. There's something here we can do by putting LinkedIn there and the need to keep it fresh. If we bring that into the cycle, we've got some form of motivation. So some of this is making sure we're nice and spotless and presenting ourselves very well. We're using the metaphor of shop window and theatre. So presenting ourselves well is the shop window metaphor. Everything's tidy, it's up to date, it's fresh, it's not past its sell-by date. Some people... Yeah, that's fairly good. Sorry. We don't see each other very often. But the thinking goes on somewhere in social media and then we come together. Acting professionally. So some people do a lot. They feed it all the time. They're out there. They're on social media. They're connecting what they're doing out there. And it's automatically refreshing their site. They're engaging in conversations. They're blogging in LinkedIn. It's an active space for them. So we're interested to see who's using LinkedIn actively like that. Because there's a danger. If some of your action is a bit rough and ready, then that might too start to reflect badly on you. I don't know. I mean, that's a question. So we did want to ask people, and we have done a survey to ask that question. So this notion of the shop window, the presentation layer, going back to some of our original question, focusing on the aspiring professional and the developing academic, beyond the presentation layer, beyond that shop window of LinkedIn, what's going on? And more to the point, what I want to hear what your story is. Because what can we do to develop this more active layer that feeds our shop window presentation? And there are things we do in real life, in the real world, but is there a social media dimension where we can engage with our peers and use social media to resolve some of the things that we're developing and learning about before we present it through that well-polished LinkedIn profile? And what are the habits associated with this? So, the digital toolbox.
Okay, so this is a digital toolbox that I've put together. One of the things that we need to think about is that as people catch their reflections, and that can be staff and students, you know, reflecting on what we've done well, what can we do better, what do we need to do, where else do we need to develop ourselves, and all these kinds of things, is that, you know, typically you might think you type that up on a Word document, or you might get your notebook out. But actually, there's so many more tools now. You know, our mobile devices that we're carrying about in our pockets, you know, there's audio there. You can take an audio file and do that, and then put it up onto SoundCloud if you wanted to, or Audioboo, and embed that into a personal blog should you want to. Or you could use video. Or actually, if you're more artistic and you want to draw things, you can take photographs and you can capture those in image files of Flickr, Instagram, that kind of thing. Or even make the compilations using Animoto. Now, one of the things quite interesting to do is to observe, listen and interact and learn from others. So looking at other people's profiles and looking at how they're organising themselves. So what some academics are doing now is they're actually reflecting and publishing that in an open blog. Now this is your choice, it's not for everybody, you might want to have a private blog and then just capture those things. But some people are actually doing it publicly and they're getting feedback from that information. So this feedback then allows you to re-reflect it again. But what you then can choose to do is to pick out some of the things that you've thought about, work those up, and they could be part of your public professional portfolio. So taking that back to LinkedIn, within LinkedIn there is a blogging tool now. It's relatively new, it's only been out maybe about a year publicly for everybody to have a go at. But you know, if you want to share some of those things, you can do that within the blog. But the other aspect is we know what the LinkedIn profile looks like in terms of the sections that you're asked to complete and whether that's fully completed or not. That kind of prompts you to fill information. But the extra sections that are in there are things like publications and projects. So how many people have put their publications on their LinkedIn profile? And that's the most powerful because people can then see what you're doing. You can see those publications as they scan down your profile. The other thing is when you add something onto your LinkedIn profile, people that are connected to you will get an email alert. So there's this reminder that new things are happening. So the other thing is SlideShare presentations. Does anybody not know what SlideShare is? Is everybody familiar with SlideShare? Yeah? So LinkedIn bought SlideShare. Year or two ago now. So if you put your presentation slides, for example, for the conference today, put them onto SlideShare, it automatically syncs and goes onto your LinkedIn profile and then sends out a message alert so people know the kinds of work that you're doing. And of course, things like skills and recommendations that you can add, open badges and certificates. Now, for the students, obviously, you might not be at that stage of publishing, but you're still going to be involved with projects, so you can fill in that section and talk about the projects that you've done. It may be that you're involved in volunteering, so you can talk about those aspects and put them in. If you do present and want to share it, there's obviously a SlideShare, open badges and certificates. You may be taking other courses outside of your, you know, sort of formal degree. They're the kinds of things that you might want to augment and put onto your LinkedIn profile, and of course skills. People can then endorse those skills, and of course recommendations is really powerful as well.
Okay, so we had some questions. Now, do you want to talk through the questions? No. There they are. There are the questions. We at this stage of our work, this is where we've got to, and you know, you're probably aware that top 50. List from JISC of social media academic tweeters. What was the list called?
Influencers, top 50 influencers in social media.
So it was too good an opportunity to resist. So we looked at that group of people who are using social media and Twitter. And we thought, okay, let's see what they think about some of these ideas here. So we essentially sent these questions out to them. We also sent it out to academics who had been associated with the LinkedIn University or Connected You project. We wanted to get a sense of just a small group of people, you know, what's the response to these questions here. So this whole thing about professional reputation is really key to this. And whether you're maintaining your shop window or whether you feel as though you're acting in a more theatre mode, you're much more dramatic when you're in LinkedIn. But going to the digital toolkit idea then, what are the key professional making spaces? Where are you active? If it's not LinkedIn, where are you active? And how are you thinking about managing that profile or your profile in that space? Who do you define as your audience as well? So if you're worried about your professional identity and looking after it, who is your professional audience? Who is it that you're concerned about? And are you actually focusing on those people and trying to target them with a message about your identity? And then there's that question that was always there in the project. And we've had conversations with Charles Hardy and LinkedIn about this. One thing that really LinkedIn doesn't have is a safe space for learning how to use it. So if we suggest to students that, yeah, you should be on LinkedIn, there's no training ground. There's no way to say, look, you know, you're on LinkedIn, but you're going to have to use it really well from day one. So there's a bit of a question about how we support students. So we ran, as I say, a very small survey last week, the week before. This is a great thing about conferences, it makes you get things done. And we got responses from 20 people. But as I say, 20 people who we felt would really have something to say. And it will give us a lead to the next thing we do. So all 20 respondents did say that social media is something that they consciously manage, and some would say they are very conscious about managing their professional reputation. That doesn't mean they go into LinkedIn and keep things fresh, but they're very aware of how important it is. So that was a good starting point for what we're trying to find out. You know, it's the basic digital literacy question, isn't it? But out of our 20, 7 of them did say, I don't manage to keep on top of it. You know, it is going stale in the corner. And someone has to give me a kick every now and again to remind me to get in there and, you know, put some fresh produce there. So that notion of the shop window was basically the main way that people see LinkedIn. It's a place to present myself a good, robust, professional profile, 100% complete and up to date with achievements. So you are looking after it, but you're not in there interacting with other people that you're connected with and so forth. So we had 2 people in the bold being actively engaged professionally with others on LinkedIn. So that active, dramatic, theatrical dimension, only 2 of our 20 social media leaders, you know, people who are interested in social media, only 2 of those people in our small sample actually said they were busy there, connecting and doing whatever it is. And one of our social media leaders told us that they don't actually have a LinkedIn profile at all. So we're about typical, aren't we? That's another way of looking at it. Anything you want to add, Sue?
Yeah, I think it's just this space here, that this is the area that we need to concentrate on. So, you know, one of the things that we want to get out of this is to provide accessible resources that we can develop both staff and students and help them and encourage them and make them see the value and the benefit. So the case studies we felt could be the first stage, but obviously people need the time to, you know, sit down, let's have a look at the profile. Could somebody give you some advice? You know, what kinds of things could you add to it? But certainly it needs to be supportive, I guess, is the best thing. And, you know, to some degree, you know, that is already happening. We have a Careers and Employability Centre. You may have noticed it coming in the main entrance. There are classes available there. Students can go in for one-to-one sessions. Periodically they have workshops, so a group of students come in and they can just bring up their profile and talk about it together, which is good. Staff could go as well, but maybe they're not going there as much. So, you know, personally for me, I've done a lot of workshops with academics in my university here, but also been invited to go to other institutions as well, just to talk about these things and to talk about the positive benefits, I guess, from, you know, case studies and my own personal perspective, you know, how it's changed my academic career, you know, with invitations to speak internationally now, you know, because they've looked for speakers by searching through LinkedIn and use that as a search engine effect. In 2012, LinkedIn did some research, and at that point there was 5.7 billion people searches went through LinkedIn in 1 year. That's huge. So people are searching for keywords, so you need to have those keywords in your profile, and then obviously that's going to help students and recruiters and also staff.
Okay, so we've talked about LinkedIn as the shop window, we've talked about it as an active space, but you've just referred to your own experience of receiving invitations, and now with the integration of SlideShare, we can see that we don't even have to actually go into LinkedIn so much to keep things up to date and fresh. Most of our respondents said that one of their best professional spaces was indeed SlideShare. You know, like today, all of these presentations, any that I've been involved with, were up there yesterday, actually. You know, it's that important to share knowledge, actually. You're doing two things. As a professional, you're out there sharing. You're keen to move some of these projects on and get feedback and bring that feedback into the classroom and so forth. So SlideShare is a particularly important space to the people who we identified as academic leaders using social media for learning. LinkedIn is there. It's the second one on the list, only one person short of SlideShare itself, both owned, of course, by LinkedIn. The personal blog and the professional blog, both important spaces. And then it was good to see from this group of people that academia.edu and ResearchGate were also important spaces where people wanted to represent themselves professionally as academics. But then there's a range of other applications that, yeah, they know they have accounts and so forth, but they're not really spaces where they are actively looking after their professional academic identity. And then we just asked a more general question about being active. So which two of the following are the most important to you as a professional academic? We just gave them a list of some social media tools. And we see Twitter bursting to the top of the charts all of a sudden, because we've mentioned Twitter as an option, and that's where we are, and that seems to be the message from today, don't you think?
Yeah.
Twitter and LinkedIn, if you take nothing away, take those two names away if you needed to. I'm sure you didn't. I'm going to move us on because we are just about out of time. So that's the question about the key audience, and the message is fellow professionals in my discipline. That's the academic response, of course. Now student response would be quite different. Some quotes. We probably haven't got too much time to go through the quotes, but there was a question. Should we just move on to the question? These slides are well and truly shared, so we won't linger too long here. That's our essentially our conclusion, and we've made those points already. But maybe just a couple of minutes, just before we finish off and totally run out of energy after a long day. going back to the original questions. So for you, is it a shop window or a theatre? What are the key professional social media making spaces in your digital toolbox? Or maybe you've just got questions you'd like to raise.
Did you have something to ask, Neil?
I was going to ask a question about who matters, and obviously you're saying that staff, academics, it's take advantage of some students in the room and what we've done in terms of how you create some LinkedIn profile matters. You can see how LinkedIn profile is it what it is it?
I think now, as I said earlier, nearly all employers will search, if they find short attention, they're searching for, and if you've got a professional profile like a LinkedIn, then they'll go to that instead of maybe your personal that you used to have on Facebook, where they'll find you're also going to be a bit better. So if you've got a professional profile, I think that dominates over what perhaps an old content that you don't really want to finish in.
I've got friends who connect to alumni students via LinkedIn and talking kind of in an informal manner, but over a formal platform, so you can kind of get some answers, but in an easier way to talk to someone on their level. Do you know what I mean?
Actually, it's something that we got out of the Connected You project. But actually, out of all those video case studies, the thing I learned was it was our alumni who actually had the most powerful stories to tell us. Mm-hmm. They were right on that cusp of having gone out into the real world, and they were really still very interested in university as well. Mm-hmm. So they were able to mediate, you know, some of the really key questions that students, I think, want to understand, and indeed academics want to understand.
I think it's a very powerful thing to engage with alumni now for many people's learning and teaching agendas. I know certainly, you know, up the road at Sheffield University, the idea of engagement with an externalised curriculum is definitely going to play an increased role as we develop our new learning and teaching strategy. And one key component of that is how alumni might be able to feed back in an active way. And we've got
and that's about your LinkedIn, because if you create a group, so a course group, and do that, you know, from a starting point, you can do that with the final year students, and then you go on to graduate, you're still going to come back, you know, if you're in a situation where there's jobs available at, you know, your place of work, you know, you might post back to the group and say, you know, contact me if you're interested, that kind of thing. But as you've just said, you know, students can contact alumni to ask some questions. I'm really interested in applying for a job, you know, at where you're working, you know, what can you tell me about it, or is, you know, is there any guidance, all sorts of different questions, or even having alumni come back to speak to students at the university. And the advantage of LinkedIn is that as those alumni move around different jobs and change their email addresses, they don't have to tell anybody. They update their profiles when they're connected. You know, that's always up to date, whereas, you know, otherwise the data that the university holds quickly gets outdated. So the onus is on the individual, and that can be really powerful, you know, obviously keeping in touch with them and having those conversations.
We are out of time. Just finally, though, you've already got the message that we are trying to move this project forward, even if it's, you know, stuttering, but it is moving forward, and every one of these conversations really helps. I've said more than once, I'm sure you have, Sue, today, that we're actually looking for people who, one, want to use the resource that we've made available through the HEA. So let us know if you still need that link and you want to take a look at it. But we want to develop this further, and the idea of doing it as a network now, doing little bits and contributing to knowledge on how we can use social media, not just the LinkedIn. We're interested in this digital toolbox idea in particular. If there's more you want to do with LinkedIn and you'd like to, you know, sort of work with us, then I don't know, just contact us and maybe we can hatch a plan between us and sort of spread the load. One of the powerful things about what we have done, I think, are the video case studies. And when we did our project, we did go hunting for people who would be prepared to be interviewed for it, and there's some great videos there. But the one thing we did know was we were pretty much exclusively at Sheffield Hallam with those interviews, apart from the employers, of course, who were employers. But what we could do together is, you know, add to the video case study resource base. But if you've got any thoughts about how you might want to get involved, I mean, it's out there for us, and you know, we're keen to do whatever. Anyway, I'll leave you with that. Please do contact us if you've got any ideas. Thank you very much.